Welcome to The Role Less Taken. I am Graham. I am not going to do a Sean Connery impression because I'm not very good at them. And I use he and they pronouns and play Jet, who uses easier pronouns. And I am joined by my charming cast and crew.
Charming person numero one. Numero uno. I'm M. I play Sean. I use they, them pronouns, and so does Sean.
I'm charming person number two. I feel like that is my like line in a like credit sequence. Charming person number two is Mickey. I use they, them pronouns. I play the fabulous deity slash theatrical performer Luminescence, and both of us use they, them pronouns.
I guess that makes me charming person number trois, to keep with the multilingual theme. Who am I? I'm Chris, and I use whatever pronouns, and I play Sabrina, who uses she, her pronouns.
And that's what we love about her. Every day, Chris is like, who am I?
You're so day-to-day existential questions, they just happen.
It's important to, like, you know, have that level of self-introspection. And together we are playing Sleepaway by Jay Dragon in our Role Less Taken Campfire series. And I remember most of the stuff that we did last time, but someone around here keeps better notes, so I was going to leave it to them.
Oh, well, you know, we had quite a session last time because we had the wolves come and we initiated the Pale Hunt, which was crazy. One of my notes is just shit is going down, like just straight up. We were fighting the wolves. Sabrina lost a moth in all of the shuffle. We lost a few people. Tad is dead. Lucinda died, but Jet was able to bring Lucinda back to life. There was a beautiful moment where Luminescence fell in love with Jet again, quote unquote. And we were still just like trying to make our way over to the Newt Queen. Queen Newt. And we did have a happy ending. We ended on Sabrina finding the lost moth again. So not all was lost completely in our fight with these wolves who were full of malice.
And pain.
And pain that shape-shifted weirdly. And we had a lot of imagery happening that was real good.
The only thing we really lost was Tad, and, you know, who cared about him anyways?
Exactly. I was kind of like, Tad is dead. Yay.
I'm sorry to any Tad stans out there.
Right? Like, forget sympathy for the devil.
I'm just for the viewers at home, we are not sociopaths. Not our characters, not us the players. It's terrible for people to die. End disclaimer.
We did say that. We did say we weren't happy that Tad was dead. We just created Tad to be the person we hated.
Yep.
Yeah, we did vilify Tad, but you know, maybe Tad could have grown into someone better, and that possibility we can mourn. The possibility that Tad could have not been Tad. Or been a better Tad.
And I will give him this, that like he cared very deeply about the camp and about the campers. And wanted to make sure that everybody was safe and happy and not, you know, scared out of their minds. And, like, to a certain degree, us going around talking about the Lindworm probably wasn't helping with some of the folks, some of the kids. So, like, you know, he's not all wrong. He's just, you know, kind of a dick about it.
And, you know, we're also kind of glad he's dead. So it all comes together.
So what I'm hearing is rip in pieces, Tad. Got it.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
That's it.
This is showing how basic I am and how much I go on TikTok, but there's an audio that's like, am I the bad guy? I don't think I'm the bad guy. And it's like, this is that moment where like We're talking about Tad, and then Graham is like, yeah, he was, you know, really cared about the campers. I'm like, he's a bad guy. It's like, did we? We're you saving know, everything.
I just like that, like, ambiguity and, like,
yeah.
I will say one of the, like, sort of, like, spice notes, I guess, in the Uncanny book especially is, like, Studio Ghibli movies, and that's one of the things I always really loved about Spirited Away, is Yubaba's an antagonist, but isn't, like, outright evil, because yeah. she's, like, she's got a business to run, and the kid's just screwing stuff up.
Yeah.
So it's, like, you can't totally hate her, but she's kind of a prick about it.
I like it.
Yeah. So I wanted to give give Tad that depth, even posthumously.
Yes.
Now there are some Tad stands out there, probably. I think we ended our scene like outside the waterfall to the lair of the Hellbender Queen. And I noticed that we do call her a Queen Newt, but not to her face.
Right. Yes.
Because I think this is the second or third time we've called her Queen Newt, but again, not to her face.
Again, nickname for our own use.
I will say at this point, just, you know, for continuity's sake, Jet has probably explained that you probably shouldn't call her that.
Yeah.
So where do we open and what are we doing?
We do the Queen Newt scene. Do we want anything to happen? For that?
Were we yeah, ready? Is there anything we need to do before then is a good question. I think the one question that I had is, do we need to make a deal with her, like, little guys? Like, the voices?
Let us in.
Probably.
Hmm. And if so, what do we offer them this time?
We gave up all our teeth, I assume. Not our, the ones in our faces, but the ones that we had on us.
The ones in our possession.
We have so many teeth. Why is there so many teeth?
I love, someone's going to start on this episode and be like, they had teeth?
That weren't their own?
Not the old teeth, the new teeth.
If you are confused, go back 4 episodes or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably like 8 episodes at this point, but anyway. The one with the ghost rabbits. Go back to that one.
So we could say we walk up to the wall and there's a whole bunch of those dissonant whispers just going, oh, what did you bring us? What did you bring us? What is it? What is it? At which point, maybe my character, Luminescence, just tries to shoo them all away like bugs, but it just gets louder.
I mean, the follow-up question is, what do we even have at this point? Do we still have the compass?
Yes.
Do we?
I say with the utmost confidence.
It was among Achilles' stuff, and I think we got Achilles' stuff.
Yeah, I think you have a version of the compass. The other one is held by the hitchhiker.
Hmm.
Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, because I genuinely don't remember. We had to lose 2 things during the ritual last time, and wasn't one of them the compass?
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, you're right.
We got rid of
it. So no, we don't have the compass. We have 3 moths. And the clothes on our back, basically, at this point.
Now there's an idea.
Just run naked through the waterfall.
I mean, I'm not opposed. This makes a certain amount of sense.
I'm trying to, let me see, have I got a move that lets me do something impulsive? I do have a move that says, keep pushing forward even as everything tries to stop you. So that's also an option, is I could just barge my way in, but I'm not sure that's the right tone we want to set for the queen.
Is anybody wearing, like, a sweater? Like, I know Luminescence is not. I know Jeff.
I am, I think, shirtless, but with, like, plate armor built into my body.
Yeah.
I will say that Sabrina is a soft girl and has probably been wearing a sweater, which looks pretty old and heavy at this point.
A camp hoodie.
Yeah, like, are there, like...
Designed by hers truly.
Little threads? I'm thinking I could just pull off a few little threads. Sorry, Remy is barking. I'm thinking...
What Remy has to say is very important.
Remy has the solution.
I know what you have to give. But I was going to pull off little threads and just start, like, throwing them in the air. Like, seeing if the little baby threads... Look, threads from one of the kindest people I know. And, like, just sprinkling them everywhere. Are the voices happy with that?
This is not a good gift. This is just... You made it trash. You made it trash everywhere. Oh, not a good gift.
Oh.
I think Jet leans over to Sean and is just like, littering is bad.
Okay, you know, I was trying to be creative here. Maybe we do
have, and Jet looks at Lumen, clothing woven of starlight, though.
Oh, you have some too? Where are you even carrying it? Isn't it a bag?
I meant we as in all of us, but mostly I meant you.
Oh, right. Of course. Well, I mean, I'm already so scantily clad, looking like kind of just a little, kind of hands over the chest and the shoulder, the off-the-shoulder cuff. I mean, like, where would you even take the fabric from? It's just, there's hardly anything left.
I think Jed is a little bit flustered and is like, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of something they'd want. Sorry, it was probably not a great idea.
Oh, I mean, it's not the first time this type of proposal has occurred, but it is the first time it's occurred this way.
I don't know. I'll think of something else. And Chet, like, sheepishly sits down.
At the peak of the uncomfortableness, Lumen.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Lumen would just be like, oh, no. I'm just teasing. Yes, of course. You need this? Like, and seeing that Jet was upset. Here, take the end bit. And the 6-inch train that has been immaculate this whole time will be, like, presented to Jet in just this striking, stunning silhouette of curvy deity stands before Jet. Go on now, are you going to use the sword? How will you break the starlight?
Sword? Oh, crap. The knight has that. I hadn't thought this far ahead, honestly.
Any of you bring any seamstress tools or crafting material?
I'm going to remind us of some safety techniques of always having our pocket knives and our Swiss Army knives on us at all times when we go out on adventures, and Sean's gonna like whip out their utility tools and hand them to Jet. That's one of my basic moves.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I think Jet takes the utility tool and, like, reaches for the train. Like, their fingers brush Lumen's just a little bit as they start cutting. And just cut, like, you know, just enough. And so they kind of dangle it over and look to Lumen like, this is okay, right?
Lumen nods. Go ahead, darling. Don't be bashful.
And they drop it.
Be accepted.
There's a moment of silence.
You notice, like, the little cloth starts to move, seemingly on its own, very slowly. Like, those scenes when you're looking down on a parade and a bunch of people are holding up some type of flag or fabric, how it moves and waves. And all the whispers just say, oh, this will do. We haven't had this yet. We haven't had it. No, we can put it over there. No, put it over here. Put it this way. And it slowly just marches off like little ants carrying a handkerchief.
Adorable.
It did occur to me that technically it's made of fake starlight because the queen has the true stars.
Apparently the little bugs don't mind. They got tricked.
Unless it was made before, it's a garment from the before times, but I don't know.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. So yeah, I think the waterfall parts and opens as it did last time, and we're allowed in.
Lumen might just say as well, as you step in, I'm just going to stay out here and keep an eye on things. The Hellbender and I aren't exactly on the best terms, and it would probably be best if I wasn't in there with you.
Big Jet hands you the utility knife and is like, in case you need to defend yourself.
Oh, I have moths, darling, but this is quite nice. This is quite nice. But, you know, the moths.
Okay. And then, like, he hands it back to Sean.
Okay. All right.
Giving away your stuff.
That's fine. I mean, I would agree with that. Well, I guess we'll see you in a moment, Lumen.
Absolutely. Do what you must. I'll be here.
And we go in.
Back in the cave.
Yeah.
The dank, drippy cave with the Hellbender Queen.
Ugh.
I imagine or assume we have to slide in that very claustrophobic space to get inside yet again.
Yeah, probably.
Unfortunate.
And Sabrina, you're still carrying the moths, right?
Well, actually, they were placed in the pocket after the fiasco last episode, so...
Okay.
Not presently.
I was, like, imagining you, like, holding them up above your head, like, scooching side to side.
No, imagining getting stuck like that with your hands up, that just gave me anxiety. Like,
yeah. That's yeah. So we make it in.
And as you walk in, you do see the Newt Queen, the multipedal, slimy, kind of just like the antithesis of everything that is light. And it's so bizarre that you've come here for the True Stars being, with a head unnaturally spun on her shoulders, looking down at you once more from the ceiling. Oh, you're back! You're back! You're back! Bring it here! Bring it here! And a feet scurry down to the side of the cave. Do you have it? Do you?
I think Jet just kind of like mutters out of the side of Zeromouth, one at a time.
And
what?
Discreetly nods. And she'll reach into her pocket and present one of the tiny coffins. Just like you asked, we brought one of the moths from the moth maiden, Monarch.
This? No, moths fly.
And this one has flown, but it has flown enough and is ready for rest.
Is a sleeping moth?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
They're easier to catch this way.
Where was it sleeping? How did you get it from the moon? Tell me. And like the legs in the front of the being kind of like scooch up and two hands are on either side of the face.
I think I was just going to quickly see if I had a cool move. No, not really. I think Jet's just kind of like, oh, we have our secrets and they will cost you.
Oh, cost me? I mean, I have the thing you want.
Well, we have brought our end of the bargain.
Fine, keep your stories. We don't even need your stories. Okay, here is one star. And then, out of air, materializes, not in the moth, one of the moth maidens, or excuse me, one of the Newt Queen's hands, but just above it is a pulsing... It looks like a pulsing diamond emanating light, and it lights up the whole cave.
Sabrina will kind of, with one hand extending out the moth, try to reach for the star before hesitating with the other. I'm not gonna get shocked or exploded by touching this or anything, am I?
I never have. That would be funny, though.
Okay. And...
Take it. You're not going to tell your stories. Just take it and go.
Sabrina will grab the star? Grab the aura surrounding the star?
Yeah, it's kind of like a magnetic pull. You can feel it pulling towards your body as it leaves the... as it leaves the palm of the queen.
And she'll replace... the star in the queen's hand with the moth. I kind of cradle the star with one hand, or both hands.
Right. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, should we each take one? I think Jet maybe asks that aloud, like, should we each take one? To subtly hint that there is more to come.
Well, you gave me one moth, so I'll give you one star.
And
do you have more? And then, like, coming very close in, and you just see that collection, that haunting collection of teeth in the new queen's mouth that aren't her own, smile big at you with eyes wide on either side of the head.
We do have more.
The pupils dilate. More? How many more? I could have more. Oh, she's going to be so mad.
Here, let's do another one. And I'll, like, Brina, can I have a moth?
She nods. Still on the start.
Okay. So, I'll hold out a moth. Another sleeping moth.
And then with one of the hands comes up and a finger to the mouth. An exchange takes place just like it did with Brina.
Mm-hmm.
And we could say it also would take place with Jet.
Yep. Jet also takes one.
The three stars.
For another one, we could tell you how we found them.
Love, four?
We don't have any more, but we can tell you how we got them.
Oh.
A secret. A secret in exchange for a fourth star.
I do want to hear the story. I have the moth monarch, the maiden, the moth. It's been bothering me. It's been a nightmare. So I would like to hear how you were able to best this wild creature. I accept. You must pay in full. The story must be good.
We found them and asked them.
Sean hearing like Jet's very simple story is gonna keep steady and go on with the story. They came from the sky, and it was not power and muscles that bested the monarch, but rather love itself. Seduced is not the right word.
Convinced,
but there's another word that's like romantic, but not seduce.
Entranced?
Maybe. Yes, sure, that one. Entranced the monarch with this gentleman here. Very
with teeth? How did you do it with teeth?
With pure love of the heart, kindness, raw muscle to look at, not to use. And
we explained that we needed it for a good and just cause, for selflessness.
And don't you think that you're pretty hot already, so you know. Helps. I'm like whispering to the queen.
It's not my life. But she's okay. I don't know. What do you want from me? That does nothing for me.
And then,
I have not enough limbs.
Yeah.
You're missing so many limbs. They come back in a couple hundred years, but. So you brought. Okay. How'd you get it out of the sky?
Did we called to them?
We called to them with magic, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been trying to go up. I didn't think about getting them down. Then what happened? You got them there, and you enticed them with that gestures.
And then, this, Sabrina sang a beautiful song to put all the moths and even the monarch to sleep. And that's when we were able to put them in a box. Quietly.
Oh, I loved it. It's a good story.
And then we were attacked. And we had to run for our lives. And we almost lost a moth. And then we were here. And people died. And were brought back to life.
Jet nods.
Just total enjoyment on the new queen's face. Oh, I'll tell the hitchhiker this story. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna love it.
Hitchhiker.
Clapping two of the front limbs.
So our star then?
As promised.
All right. And pulls down a fourth star and gives it to you.
All right. Swing in.
Also, before you go, though. I just want a couple dreams, you know? If I could just have two dreams, we'd be in such a good spot.
What in exchange for them?
Oh, for you living. Because I could have your teeth now. So if you would just want to keep living for a while, I could have two dreams. This is a great day.
Well, I can happily give up one of my dreams.
Dreams as in you'll take our memory of having ever had the dream, or you just want to hear about it?
No, I'm going to take it.
I have my dream of the secret hidden behind the waterfall, so I can give that away, because I think we're done with the queen.
Yeah, like dreams or blood or something like that, you know, something just like tasty. Either one will be fine. I could take a dream or some blood. I'd be happy with either.
Jet is what...
Are these dreams that we're supposed to have... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Grant.
Oh, no, I was going to say, Jet offers up the dream of the secret behind the waterfall.
In a similar way to the way that Sean was pulling strings out of a sweater earlier, the Newt Queen pulls strands of dream out of your supernatural being.
I am just wondering if these have to be like legit dreams, like items that were on our item board or like something that we have had to have previously mentioned, or are these just like dreams for the character's background?
No, they're desires. Yeah, the Newt Queen wants your desires. So it could be a dream, something you want to occur, or a dream that's happened in the past. Any interpretation of the word dream would be fine. Mm-hmm.
I had that on my character sheet, so I was like, I can get rid of that pretty happily.
I really don't want to give up my dream of enjoying life. So, Sabrina, do you have anything? Or,
I do, but it kind of, I do.
If you want to keep it.
Unless you really very feel strongly about the idea that you have. In which case, this is just a throwaway idea of mine, so feel free.
Well, I just have a move that is get out of harm's way.
Mm.
So I can use a move to get us out of harm's way.
Well, it feels kind of meta to say save your token, but save your token. I'm going to give up a dream. I was told any interpretation of the word dream. So Sabrina will offer up a dream that just happened to be a nightmare. Turning into a wolf, a recurring nightmare that she had as a child, because her childhood fear was transforming into a wolf. So, you can have that, Elbinder Queen.
Oh, it's delicious. I love it. You're so afraid. I love it.
Yep. Enjoy that. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you sure I can't talk you into, like, a couple teeth now? I'm looking forward to all of them, but, like, you know. You want to part with any now, you're free to go, but I'd love one of those.
I'm gonna go...
Yeah, as agreed upon our death. Or their death. Because Jet didn't make that offer, because Jet is already kind of pledged.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. Look at that one! It looks so good! And, like, once again, uncomfortably close. Just right up to Sean. Just, like, poking a, like, side tooth. I love it! It'd be so good right here.
So we're gonna go.
Okay.
We've got an appointment. We'll come back. I left the iron on. I have to wash my hair.
Come back with Moz anytime. I'm gonna go wake him up now. Bye bye.
Jet waves awkwardly.
Oh yeah, run.
And then we shuffle.
They scoot back to the crevice as quickly as possible.
Does
you make it out with that incident?
Okay, I was gonna ask, does the Hellbender Queen like take any moves?
I'm feeling crafty, so I feel like we have a good excuse, because one of the give the Hellbender Queen away moves is when you're feeling crafty or cunning.
We were so cunning.
I did not trust the Hellbender Queen, but I think you telling the story worked out better than that, because I was just gonna be like, we asked for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the story definitely had to have some meat to it.
Yeah.
Mm. thinking about how the Hellbender Queen enjoys pieces of people, teeth, blood, dreams. So a story would also be under that umbrella of something meaningful.
Oh, yeah. My backup plan for the moths was I was going to start, like, throwing them up in the air. So I'm glad that the queen accepted them. I was like, okay, we can make them just kind of look alive.
I love it.
Okay.
All right, we've successfully gotten the stars. We meet back up with Lumen, too. So what's next?
Lumen was, like, probably talking to themselves a little. Like, slash the moths when you came out. Like, I know, but, like... Like, I don't know if Z think that. Stop it. No. Maybe. Just having a full-on conversation with no one. But moths.
I think whichever one of us grabbed the extra star can hand it over to you, Lumen. If nobody else wanted to, Jet maybe grabbed it.
Definitely Jet.
So yeah, Jet is like, we managed to get 4 stars. And hands one over to Lumen.
Oh, darling, I'd say we have 5. Just look at you. You traded my fake stars for this.
Well, plus 3 of your friends, I regret to say, but I think it has been worth it.
You know, they're trapped in those coffins. Well, trapped is the wrong word, but they're sealed in those coffins, so I really think that they would think it's for the best, I'm sure. Hmm. I will miss them, though, when I go and visit. But I'll tell all their friends, you know, they're still out there fighting the good fight. All right, my star, let's go. Is everyone ready?
Yeah, are
we ready?
Yeah, what are we doing now?
Oh, I don't know. I was sure you did.
Well, we were told to get the stars. I don't recall being told what to do with them or how to use them.
No, I kind of thought they'd be one of those we'll know what to do when the time comes things, but in retrospect, maybe not. Should we go somewhere other than the waterfall to discuss this?
Yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
We could go to the campfire that we built recently. The new campfire.
Oh, the new campfire, yes. That is close to the camp, too.
Yeah. Let's go there.
Hmm. All right. And maybe also while we're at it, checking in with the campers.
Yep. Great idea.
Mm-hmm.
How's Lucinda looking when we're back with the campers?
I would use the word harrowed, but generally I'd say that she's okay. She is, I think, relieved to see us. Although it does also occur to me this is the first time that most of the campers will have seen Jet. Since Zay died. And had that whole transformation sequence. So we want to look at that in for a minute. See how the kids react to armored Jet with water face.
Do it.
I think everybody.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna like set the scene and say like everybody kind of the four of us kind of walk in. This is also gonna be the first time for most of them seeing Lumen as well. The four of us kind of walk into the new fire pit and we all kind of like, almost without thinking, sit down and like start getting ready to hash out our plan. And that's when Lucinda starts walking over, but also has the like, you know, ducklings, the like 5 children who are still alive in tow. Actually, I will say the first thing that Lucinda asks is whether we found Cid.
Yeah.
They just shook their head.
Do I have anything for this?
You've got your shutdown move.
I know, I was thinking, do I just shut down?
You could use a regular move to say something profound and cryptic if we must. but really, I love Cid so much that I don't want Lumen's crassness and lack of pragmatics to make this horrible.
I do have a move that says sacrifice something to protect someone else. Oh, go ahead.
If you want to work with that, I'm gonna stop you.
did you have an idea though?
I do have an idea, and I just want to reiterate for my horrible memory: the asks are considered moves as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have a regular move that asks, does someone want to go somewhere else? And I think it might be a good time for Sabrina to possibly just, you know, take Lucinda aside and tell her what happened so as to not prolong this mystery and this fear regarding this missing child any longer.
Hmm.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's pays tribute to our little Sid in the best way and is the most peaceful way to break bad news.
Yeah. So Sabrina will kind of, you know, like they've just sat down, are thinking about next steps when this horrible realization washes over her yet again. And she'll just kind of wordlessly hand the star that she's holding to Sean, stand up, take Lucinda by the shoulder and ask if she wants to go check. And they'll just kind of walk off the two of them together.
And I think that does then leave Jet and everyone, like Jet and the kids and Sean and Lumen.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to play the scene out?
Mickey's like welling up at how beautiful that is, though. It's very nice.
Do we want to play that scene out, or do, like with Lucinda, or do you want to just kind of like leave that to everyone's imagination? Because I think it is fairly straightforward.
I think it's very straightforward too.
Hmm.
I kind of want to see what the kids are up to with these new friends here. All yeah,
I was gonna say, Zach's reaction to this, like, big buff version of Jet with no shirt and plate armor bolted onto his zero body?
I'm so glad that you asked. I think the kids have just, like, kind of wandered in and are maybe taking their seats, but eyeing curiously Lumen and Jet. And Zach is just gonna walk right up to both of them, kind of glance from side to side at one, and with the bone piccolo is gonna gesture at Lumen and say, "I like your getup. Deny you're so clean though in this dump of a woods." And then kind of point at Jet and say, "And you're not even wearing a shirt. It's kind of strange.
It doesn't fit over the armor."
And then similarly, like, Lumen's just going to mumble, "Well, I mean, there's no dirt on my plane, so I didn't see the reason to have dirt on me here."
Fair enough. Want to hear me play this sick bone flute?
Indeed,
and
I do.
Not it's even going to. You are saying words, and they did not even wait for an answer. Zach is going to start belting out the worst tune. And...
oh. Fantastic.
After a few garbage notes, they're gonna stop and be like, "Wasn't that awesome?"
Lumen nods their head enthusiastically.
I'm kind of wondering, just because it's a bone and Jet has like sort of a tie, like a connection to the realm of death, maybe Jet heard a different song, and it actually was pretty good.
Ooh! Oh my goodness!
And I think Jet is just like, "That's quite good. You're getting pretty talented with that."
I imagine the other two campers, like Jack and Allie, are kind of looking at each other like, "What in the hell?"
Yeah, I was thinking that, like, I mean, is Robin, and Robin's still kind of hurt, right? Robin's still here?
Yeah, Robin is there. Robin, I think, is on crutches.
Yeah.
I was but is semi- otherwise all right.
Yeah, I was semi-imagining, like, Allie and Jack on either side of them, like just coming in, like, thinking that we're just gonna, you know, sit down and have some s'mores and, like, just stopping while they see Lumen and New Jet, and then Zach just, like, busting out a flute song. Allie will walk up to Zach and, you know, "You're getting better. Almost there." "I know you, but you're different. Did you, why?"
To Jet.
Yeah.
Jet's like, I think Jet thinks about it for a second and goes, and like remembers that they remember. And he's just like, "Ah, well, you know, I died."
Oh. But okay. But you're here now? Are you a ghost?
No, I, you know, live in service of the Cataract Knight and the We are pledged to work with the Underhill King, which I'm imagining is gibberish to them.
Like, Allie is now like, oh no, camp counselor went crazy.
Because from their perspective, it's like they just opened a fantasy novel to page 400.
Yeah.
Zach is going to, still gesturing with the bone, and either of them know that cult lady.
There's a cult lady too? I mean, what?
I think Jet just kind of gets very serious and is like, we do not speak of her.
That's exactly right. We do not speak of her. Wash the thought from your mind, child.
Okay. Whatever. I'm just gonna go sit down on the log on the opposite side of the
floor. I was just looking to see if there's anything else on Our Lady of Bliette that could be interesting and relevant.
Oh my gosh, I was just doing the same thing.
Well, I have while you look for that, I just have this inkling, and I know it's not meant to be this literal, but I'm enjoying the thought that it might be. Zach, as we all know, is the most empty butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And the moth monarch, I would like to imagine, feels a certain fondness and parental vibe for this empty butterfly. And so I just am imagining kind of like Lumen's keeping a closer eye on Zach than the others, sensing some type of, you know, protective instinct over this amazing child who plays horrible music. I mean, what an with such confidence.
I love that. And Zach might not know it, but given the parental issues that they perceive themselves to have, that's kind of a lovely thought.
It is lovely. I like that a lot.
I pose a question.
Mm-hmm.
Does it feel right in this moment for the mention of Lady Obliette and all these people saying, oh, we shouldn't really talk about her, for her to pick a new favorite?
Ooh, that is very good. And I like that a lot.
It's terrifying and I love it.
And I kind of have this feeling that, like, all the campers are like rushing up to Jet and Lumen, and Sean's there too, but you know, they're in the background. They're not the exciting part. But no, I'm not thinking Sean. What I'm thinking is Robin was left behind because they're moving slower. And just like a little whisper in the ear from behind them. I don't know what does she whisper? What does the lady say to Robin to entice?
I mean, I will, if it helps give some ideas too, I was going to say that Robin's reaction to the whole, like, I died and now work for the Underhill King thing was just like, they are too tired to like process that as anything other than fact. And he's just kind of like, sure, fair enough. So perhaps something related to like, their exhaustion. I was just looking at the Lady Obliette as well. And yeah, she's, sorry, they are, Robin is sort of being forgotten in this moment.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
What
if it's, sorry, did you have an idea?
I was just gonna, I was recently editing one of the recent episodes, and I think it was like, it happened at night. And like, so I think it's probably like getting on for early morning. And maybe the fireplace is damp and can't light. Like somebody tries to light the fireplace and it just doesn't. So bring that in as well.
Definitely. And with that, maybe like Robin feels like an extra bit of warmth on their back. Maybe thinking it's the rising sun. But instead it's Lady Obliette coddling the forgotten. So she comes up behind Robin and whispers in their ear, oh, I would never forget you. You're my favorite. And I don't know if it's like whispers on the wind or if it's like a prolonged moment. We can kind of pick.
A little from column A, a little from column B.
Yeah.
I think that is kind of like, just because Robin is so tired at this point and has just been through so much, that is actually like, to have somebody say something like nice to them and like acknowledge them and acknowledge that they're feeling a little bit left out because they're not as quick as the others. And I think that is really like nice, but they also don't really know what that means. And it's just kind of like looking over their shoulder like, huh? Someone say something?
Maybe.
As they hobble a little closer.
Ooh, okay. Do we want the lady to do anything else? Yes?
I mean, she also has a move that says make a minor character forgotten. So maybe, like, even while Robin is trying to get closer to the, like, fireplace that won't light, they just kind of vanish. First from memory and then from, like, sight.
I imagine for Robin, too, they're, like, just trying to walk closer and closer to the fireplace, and they just never get closer.
And yeah, I was kind of thinking that, too. Like, the space seems to get further and further. Like, that weird, like, camera trick.
And then that comfort from behind is too enticing.
Ah, shit.
And this is also exacerbating an existing isolation, right? Like,
right, exactly.
Oh.
Seems like, it's almost like Our Lady Oubliette is the real villain all along.
I know. Does anything happen after Robin kind of disappears?
I was going to say, like, who notices? Does anybody notice? That's the real question.
Forgotten. Then I don't think anybody would notice.
I'm going to say maybe Lucinda notices, but doesn't like is still like, Lucinda will notice, but is still kind of off having that conversation with Sabrina, which is, you know, like a fairly important moment for them both to have of like, you know, well, shit, another kid died.
I wonder if Jet and Lumen, as individuals who might maybe see and would know a little more about the mystical forces at work, if they would see it or not. What are your thoughts, Graham?
I was also thinking about that. Because that would also give a good reason for Lucinda to remember, is that she's now also got that sort of supernatural like affect. And yeah, I think maybe they notice, but maybe they also kind of are kind of swept up in the moment and don't necessarily recognize it. So like they're distracted and kind of, yeah.
I'm thinking of it maybe like it's like a filter. Like if you look through a blacklight filter, you can see things you can't with your naked eye. Maybe they have the ability to perceive another layer. And I think Lumen would also perceive it, as would, you know, I agree with what you just said. But while Lumen saw it, I think Lumen is going to do a weak move and reject the part of you that cares. Out of an effort for probably self-preservation. Like, it's very cowardly. And it's weak of them.
I'm curious, has Lumen had a dealing with the Lady Oubliette before?
I could tell you, but I would say, so the Moth Maiden, in my reincarnation of the Moth Maiden, there was a Moth Maiden before the Moth Monarch, and the Moth Maiden was killed, and I, in my own creation of this character, decided that the memories of the last Moth Maiden are now a part of the Moth Monarch. So the last Moth Maiden had interactions with Our Lady Oubliette, but the Moth Monarch technically hasn't, but knows enough to know that they're dangerous and that they are very manipulative.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah, I think that makes sense too. Yeah, I think like Jet is just too busy. Like, I think this is like the first time Jet has really had like extended conversation with more than like just the knight or like just a dead person.
Yeah.
So Zaire like almost too excited about like this sort of camaraderie that they haven't had for a long time gets swept up.
And I imagine there's the same feeling with
Lumen. Mm.
Because, like, Lumen is, in the same way that you had the Cataract Knight to guide Jet, Lumen had the memories from the Moth Maiden, but hasn't actually had experiences with other people in this realm. So I could see that mutual fascination and bond occur.
Mm. Meanwhile, Sean and Sabrina just didn't notice.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But
our normal sight that sees only this one plane.
You know?
Gotta kill off your characters, you know?
You know that character you love? Why don't you just kill them?
I would like to retroactively add that, you know, in the time that this conversation has been taking place and Sabrina's been talking with Lucinda, she would have shared not only that Cid has passed, but basically why the group has been MIA and what we've been doing this whole time.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
To Lucinda's possible disbelief or begrudging, okay, sure, while she was grieving. Like,
we talked last time about Lucinda having, like, now kind of magic healing powers. Has she discovered them at this point, I think, is a question.
We did say in the last episode that she went to help someone, and there was a wound that did transfer onto her.
Yeah, so maybe she's, like, she hasn't figured it out, but she's still got, like, she's maybe more open to it than she was, you know, last week. And she's always been a little open, like, compared to Tad. Our boy Tad, to like the weird supernatural forces around the camp. So I think she's maybe also exhausted to the point that she's just like, yeah, whatever. While we've been off LARPing, she's been taking care of the kids, though.
Yeah. Too true.
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody, like, we're coming up on like an hour-ish. Does anybody have anything else they want to do before we call it a day?
So,
or maybe anything we want to look at for the next episode? Or set up for the next episode, I should say.
Yeah, do we fight the Lindworm? Like, we have the stars.
It is looking that way.
Yeah. I was going to spend a few minutes, maybe, like, of us sitting down and, like, trying to figure out what to do with this now that we've got that piece of information from the king. We've got four stars. So, like, I think we got to figure out, like, we got to come up with a plan and figure out how to, like, maybe bind the Lindworm in some way is kind of what we're maybe going to start talking about.
Yes. Is this... Go ahead, Mickey. No, what do you know? What do you know that we know?
What do your elf eyes see?
I know that we know that the Lindworm can be bound, essentially, if it's in like another vessel, if it's in a body. And there were details that someone had told us about covering certain orifices. I want to say the mouth and eyes.
I have eyes and ears.
Oh, eyes and ears. Okay.
Eyes and ears.
So we know those pieces.
I think it makes sense that, you know, like night settling on, or did we say it's like coming now into the early morning? I can't remember. Time is wonky.
I think it's like
coming into early
morning. Early morning, yeah.
And maybe while everybody has gone back to rest because, you know, it was really late / rolling when we got there, we've sat chatting around this pit trying to figure out what next steps are. And I kind of like the idea, like, we're holding the stars, trying to see how they work, what the work that they do is, and as maybe two of us, like, kind of hold them up a bit to analyze them, a beam stretches from one star to the other out of nowhere to everyone's surprise.
I like it a lot.
And that's as far as I got, depending on, like, if we want to just play it out and see where that idea takes us for next time. Yeah,
I do. No, I love that. I think that's fantastic.
I love it.
I've got ideas from that I'm like, ooh, maybe we'll try that.
Yeah.
I also like on the metaphorical level, just like the fact that all of our characters have undergone such change and metamorphosis in this game, that the weapon would also go through change and metamorphosis to like bring the end to this cycle.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Or not. Maybe we all die. I don't know. But
yeah. I think so. Like, our to-do list now seems to be figure out what to do with the stars / Lindworm and notice that Robin is missing and try to figure out what to do about that situation if we do anything about it.
Yes.
All Oops. Right. Cool. Right.
Lindworm, save Robin.
Yeah. Mickey, excellent job being a Hellbender Queen, as always.
Always.
Oh my gosh, thank you everybody. Excellent job telling stories and real creative stuff tonight.
That was a good one. I am excited.
Yeah.
It feels like we're also building up to the big confrontation, so I'm excited to see where that goes too.
It's happening.
You have to make it very dramatic, very big.
Yep.
We don't know any other way.
We're going to do our darndest.
I'm trying to figure out how we can incorporate, like, Lady Oubliette there with Robin and the Lindworm and
showdown.
Yeah. Big showdown.
Oh, man. On behalf of Chris and Em and Mickey and myself, I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Roll a Stake and Campfire. We've been playing Sleepaway with the Uncanny expansion by Jay Dragon of Possum Creek Games. You can get more information on that game in the show notes. Check us out on Twitter. We are at Roll Less Taken with no the. We're on Instagram at The Roll Less Taken and Facebook as The Roll Less Taken. And for those playing along at home, that's Roll with an E. Rate and review us on Podchaser on iTunes, and please tell your friends about the show. That really helps us out. We're all word of mouth, so the more you can spread the word, the more we can keep making episodes. And until our next episode, stay safe and don't get eaten by the Lindworm.